Motivation is a very important thing in life. We can be motivated by a variety of things. Like I was mentioning the guy running from the bear, fear is a great motivator. And many of us live our lives being motivated by fear. And fear can have a tremendous impact on us when it dominates our lives. And yet many people live life being motivated as though it were by fear. It's probably one of the most negative motivations that we can ever experience. Love is a great motivator in life. There's nothing in life that feels as good or is as enjoyable as living and leading life when you are enjoying love and being with people that you love. And love is a tremendous positive motivation in life. Pain can be a motivation. Pain can many times cause us to adjust in life, to change in life, can shift the gears of our lives. And pain, like nothing else, can have tremendous impact on motivating us in life. So fear and love and pain. Forgiveness. Whenever you've been through a conflict with someone and you receive forgiveness from that person, forgiveness can be an incredible source of motivation and of release in life. And that's why the Bible teaches us that when we experience the forgiveness of God, it creates a new motivation in us to live a life that is pleasing and that is acceptable to God. And nothing matters as much as now pleasing the one who has forgiven us of so much. For the motivation that can come from fear and from love, from pain and from forgiveness, one of the most positive and one of the most important sources of motivation in life is encouragement. Encouragement. And encouragement is a great way whereby we are able to help each other to keep going, to keep moving, to keep pressing in the force and in the course of life every day. And so this morning, I want to take some time and I want to talk to you about the subject of encouragement. Because I believe that it is a message that is found throughout all of the pages of the Bible and is an important point of understanding for each and for every one of us. And so if you have a Bible this morning, I want you to take it and open it to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Because here in the Bible, we do see a reference to the importance of encouragement in life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. The scripture says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Encourage one another and build or lift each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Paul says one of the greatest things that you can do for other people is to encourage them and to build them up. Why? Because encouragement positively motivates and positively supports other people in the course of their life and of their journey. And every one of us needs to be encouraged. Now, what does the word encouragement mean? Well, obviously, the root word is the word courage. And to have courage means to have mental and moral strength in facing the challenges of life. It is having a mental and a moral strength for whatever challenges, for whatever points of resistance, for whatever obstacles may come into your life. And because every one of us regularly faces obstacles, surprises, disappointments, injuries, difficulties in life, it is important that we are able to maintain a sense of courage in life. Now, when you lose your courage in life, when you don't have courage, then you are discouraged. And discouraged simply means to be without courage. You don't have mental strength. You don't have moral strength. And suddenly you begin to feel yourself going down, losing a sense of living with life and vitality and energy. But on the other hand, when you are encouraged, you have courage being added, being filled, moving up. The water line is rising in your life. And one of the things that we can all do for each other is to be a part of a ministry of encouragement whereby we help to raise the water level of courage, of strength, and of vitality for living every day. Now, the Bible really does address this issue in a variety of fashions. And I want us just to explore a little bit about what the Bible does say to us today about encouragement. If you've got your Bible open in 1 Thessalonians, obviously, the Bible tells us it's something we're to do with one another. But let's go back and look at a little bit more of what the Bible teaches on the subject by going back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. Because John 14, 15, 16, and 17 basically compile the closing words of Jesus to his disciples. And in his last words, Jesus made a big deal about something that was going to happen, someone who was going to come after him and who was going to have a ministry among believers. And here in John 14, 15, and 16, we read in a variety of passages something of a ministry of support and of a ministry of encouragement. Let me read it together, beginning in John 14 and verse 16. The Bible says here, Jesus speaking to his disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Does your Bible say helper? Maybe your Bible says comforter. Does some of you have a Bible that says comforter, another comforter? It might even be, if you have a more modern translation, that it says, "I will send you an encourager." Because that literally is the word that is being used here. It is a word in the original text that can be translated comfort, help, or encouragement. And Jesus said, "When I go away, I'm not going to leave you alone because I am going to give you an encourager." And who is this encourager? The Bible says in verse 17, "It is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor hears him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And then Jesus says, "I will not leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you without help. I haven't just come to set an example, to say a few words and to go away. I've come to transform your life and your existence. And when I go back to heaven, I am going to send one who is going to come and is going to fulfill everything that I have commanded you." And that is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing that I want us to center our thoughts around this morning is that encouragement is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God Himself came in the person of Christ to be the mediator between the Father and sinful man. But then when he went back into heaven after the ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, who has come and who is here and present today, working in the midst of believers in order that we might be encouraged, that we might be strengthened, that we might be comforted, that we might have help. And so you don't have to live, and I don't have to live this life alone. Being a Christian isn't simply adopting a creed and then gritting your teeth. It's a matter of receiving Christ and then letting the power of Christ by the ministry of the Holy Spirit work in you and work through you. Let's continue reading about the ministry of this helper. Again in John chapter 15 and verse 26. Let's see what the Bible says. "But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." Have you ever heard somebody stand up in a pulpit like I'm doing this morning and say to you, "You ought to be a witness. You ought to tell somebody about Christ"? That it's a job, it is a responsibility, it is an obligation as a Christian to be a witness. How many of you have ever heard that? Most of you? Have all of you heard that? That you're to be a witness? But did you know that the demand of witnessing is not simply upon you being a witness? It is upon the power of the Holy Spirit who is now living and residing in you, and you are simply to be the instrument of usefulness to the Holy Spirit who will prompt you, who will direct you, who will make you sensitive to moments where you can share Jesus Christ, because you don't know and I don't know what God's doing in the hearts of people around us. But what I do know is that if I'll be available, God will get me up next to somebody who needs to hear a witness about Jesus Christ, and He will use my life and He will use that word of testimony in witness to that person. And so the Bible says that this helper, this encourager, has come to teach us. He's come to help us with witnessing. And then the Bible says again in John 16 and verse 13, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine, and He will declare it to you." Three times in three chapters, when Jesus was signing off with His disciples, He was saying to these men, "Listen, I am not going to leave you alone. There is someone who is coming to encourage you, and that is going to be a ministry of the Holy Spirit. If I could just summarize what we've read in these verses about the Holy Spirit and about His ministry in our lives, I would simply say to you several things. Let's just put this together so that categorically we understand the encouraging work of the Holy Spirit. According to what Jesus has said in John 14, 15, and 16, these are the things that He's told us about the Holy Spirit. One, that the Holy Spirit is going to encourage us to do what Jesus asks. He's going to create a new guidance system in my life and in your life that will prompt me to now live a life that is pleasing to God, to do what Jesus has commanded me to do. One of the most amazing things that happens when a person bows their head, prays, and receives Christ is that when that truly is done with a sincere heart, and when they go back to living life every day, they find that something has changed on the inside. They can't live the way they've just lived any longer. And there are behavioral patterns in life that the Holy Spirit begins to bump and to prompt and to change in life. People always ask me, what do I have to change to become a Christian? The issue is absolutely nothing. You have to recognize that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and you have to confess your sin and your sinfulness before Jesus Christ. But when you do that, and when Christ comes into you, the thing that Jesus does in you is He puts a new motivational force in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to find that you don't just have to change. The Holy Spirit's going to start creating some changes in you. And He's going to encourage you to do what Jesus asked you to do. That's what the Bible tells us here. But not only is He going to encourage me to do what Jesus asked, He's also going to encourage me to remember what Jesus said. He's going to bring to mind, in those significant, needy moments of my life, the promises of God so that I will be strengthened and I will have fortitude and I will be able to go on. I've been amazed how many times in my life when I've had a need for guidance or direction, that it seems that the Holy Spirit of God has put me in a place where someone, or maybe something I'm reading, surfaces a verse that touches my heart. And then over a period of days, I run into that verse 5 or 6 or 7 times in other places. You know why? Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to help me to remember what Jesus has said. As human beings, it's our tendency to forget, isn't it? Don't we just have a natural tendency to forget things? We forget birthdays and anniversaries. Well, we want to forget our birthdays and anniversaries and all kinds of things that are important. We forget appointments. We forget commitments. We forget all kinds of things. And yet over and over in the Bible says that we are to remember. We are to remember. And one of the easiest things for us to forget is what Jesus has said and what Jesus has promised. One of my favorite passages in the Scripture is over in Acts chapter 23. Paul had been ministering for Christ. And Paul ended up persecuted and put in prison. And on that night, the Bible says that as Paul was there wondering if his life was to come to an end, that the Lord appeared to him and said, Paul, be of good cheer. You have testified of me here. You're going to testify of me in Rome. What was that? That was the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And then He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Paul was just being reminded that night in that place that God was with him and that he hadn't done anything wrong, but that he had done everything right and that God was going to keep working in his life. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to encourage us by helping us to remember what Jesus said. And then His work is to encourage us to trust what Jesus does. There are things in life that happen to me and happen around me that I don't understand. There are times when I get ready to pray and I don't know how to pray. But Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, and likewise the Holy Spirit helps with our weakness. For when we don't even know how to pray as we ought to pray, He utters from the groanings of our heart prayers unto God. And then the next verse, actually 2 verses away, says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. You see, what the Holy Spirit does in my life is when I don't understand things, when I can't put things together, when I can't connect things, the Holy Spirit of God helps me to trust what Jesus has promised. So the Spirit encourages us to do what Jesus asked. He encourages us to remember what Jesus said. He encourages us to trust what Jesus does. And then ultimately, as we said a moment ago, the Holy Spirit encourages us to tell what Jesus has done. Witnessing is simply telling what Jesus has done in my life. I don't have to create or craft some sort of a sales pitch to be a witness for Jesus. To be a witness is simply to take advantage of the platforms and the opportunities that God gives me and to use those as an opportunity to speak a positive word in the name of Jesus and to let the one who is encouraging me to work a ministry of encouragement through me. And so I say all of that this morning to simply say to you on the subject of encouragement that encouragement is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is something that God is wanting to do in your life and in my life, and how we need to understand, to perceive, and to receive this ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of encouragement. But not only does the Bible teach us that encouragement is a ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Bible also teaches us that encouragement deepens community among believers. Encouragement deepens community, and I might add unity, among believers. When we come together as believers, together as the body of Christ, there is a sense in which we become a unique community. Obviously, we are residents of a county, Palm Beach County. We are residents of a community within that county, the community of Boca Raton. And as members of this community, there are certain privileges and benefits, certain experiences that are common to us. Not long ago, we had a horrible thing happen in our community. Two planes collided out west of town, and it literally gathered the attention of everyone here because everyone felt the impact of that in our community. And we saw the community trying to come together to deal with that issue. We saw that same issue in Lake Worth at the end of the school year when a young boy shot and killed a school teacher, and we watched as people in that community, certainly a part of our larger community, but that community in particular felt the impact of that in seeking to deal with that. Well, just as grief and crisis and trauma can bring a local community together, so it is that the Bible teaches that encouragement, when it is present within the body of Christ, when people come together, it deepens a sense of community among believers. Let's look over in the book of Romans for just a moment. Romans chapter 1. Because in Romans chapter 1, we read again Paul describing something of this deepening work in our lives through encouragement. And I want you to have this verse marked in your Bible. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." Paul literally was saying, "I want to get back with you, and I want to exercise gifts with you, so that you will be stronger than you've ever been in your faith with Christ." And then he says in verse 12, "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me." He said, "Listen, I want to get back with you and I want to minister there with you, but especially because when I'm with you and when you're with me, there is a ministry of encouragement that happens among us, and it makes us all stronger and it makes us all better." And that's exactly what the Church of Jesus Christ is to be. It is to be a fellowship of encouragement, whereby every member of the body is strengthened because the body has come together and the body is deepening in fellowship and in love. And of course, nothing works to do that more in the body, just as in the community at large, as we talked about a moment ago, than when we struggle and when we hurt and when we go through hard times. Let's look from Romans chapter 1 over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just keep turning pages there in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want us to begin reading in verse 3, because here the Bible references again this ministry of encouragement. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, this is what the Bible says: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all," what's the next word? Comfort. Comfort. This Bible passage talks to us about comfort. Now, our word comfort comes from the Latin word com, which means with, and fortis, which means strength. When we hear the word comfort, we tend to think about somebody patting somebody on the back and saying, "It'll be okay, it'll be okay." But that's not what the word comfort means at all. The word comfort in the Latin means to add strength. But in the original Greek language of the New Testament, it literally is the same word that is used of the helping ministry of the Holy Spirit and of the strengthening ministry of the body of Christ. It is the same root word as encouragement. And so the Bible says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort," or encouragement, "who encourages us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort," or to encourage, "those who are in any trouble with the encouragement or comfort which we ourselves have been encouraged or comforted by God." You see, the Bible says that God ministers comfort and encouragement to us when we go through hard times, in order that we in turn might be able to offer that to other people. And when we reach out and when we touch other people from the very hurts and needs of our life, that becomes the point where ministry connects with them. I see a lady sitting in the back of our church this morning by the name of Juanita Kaur. Every Wednesday, Juanita Kaur and a group of people who are an extension of our ministry meet together in a gathering called Divorce Care. It's a ministry specifically designed to reach and to touch people who've gone through a broken marriage, a broken family situation, and who are trying to come to grips with a broken world experience. And in trying to meet that need and to minister in that fashion, there's a sense in which each person who's a part of that ministry has had God minister to them, and they now, with the same comfort, the same encouragement that God has given to them, are now providing a ministry, not just of "it'll be better," but a ministry of encouragement to people who are hurting, to giving them a sense not just of surviving, but of living and thriving beyond that kind of broken experience in life. You see, that's the whole idea. Is that when we hurt together and we hang together, we become stronger together because of a ministry of encouragement among us. And so the Bible teaches the importance of this ministry of encouragement because it deepens community for the believers. Now, in a practical sense, how does that work out in our lives? How is that seen in our lives, this ministry of encouragement, this community that is deepened through encouragement? Well, I believe there are actually two things that are expressions of the ministry of encouragement. And just as you have two shoes on your feet this morning, a pair of shoes, I want to give you a pair of things that we are to attend to, some things we need to lace up in our lives if we indeed are going to be a community of encouragement and a community that is deepened through this ministry of encouragement. The first one is found in Hebrews chapter 10. So let's look over there and move over to Hebrews chapter 10. And as we look there, I want us to lace up the first shoe, as though it were, in this community effect of encouragement. And here the Bible talks to us about coming together as a community. And it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up, to build up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I believe that one of the ways in which a community is deepened in encouragement is when that community commits itself to serving others and to producing good works. Good works. When there are deeds of kindness, when there are actions of mercy, when there is an abundance of service mentality in the hearts of people, and everyone is not fighting for the top, but everybody is fighting for the towel and fighting for the bottom, then that transforms a church. And that church becomes deeper and purer and stronger in fellowship, because the strength of that church is that when it comes together, it is literally lifted in performance through good works. Now, we're not saved by good works. We can't gain brownie points with God by trying to live a good life and do good things. But the Bible makes it very clear that by grace we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then the Bible does say, "But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And God's plan and intention, that the result of a church that is full of the Holy Spirit and full of Spirit-filled believers, is that that church will overflow with good works. And that everybody in that church will be a part of the ministry of good works. Because together, We're strengthening who we are and what we are in Christ. It's a team. It's a team dynamic. We see that in basketball. We can take a group of basketball players who are good players, all-star players, but you can take the best of all the stars and put them together and not necessarily have a great team. But you can take people who have good skills and good strengths and put them together and then give them the coaching and give them the experience of playing, and before long they play in a capacity called over their head. Literally, they all play better than any one of them plays individually. And that's how the Church of Jesus Christ is intended to be, that when we come together, rather than being weaker for coming together, we're stronger as we come together. And the nature of our assembly is to encourage one another through good works. But not only is one of those shoes that we need to tie on the shoe of good works, the other shoe that we need to tie on is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. And so I want you to look over there for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Paul is again speaking to the church and giving instructions as to how we're to live and what we're to do. And he says here in verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for what? Edification." Literally, that could also be translated, that which is good and necessary for encouragement. Not only good works, but good words. We all need to hear good words, because speech is such a powerful thing. Did you know that in your life, in your home, in your family, that you can say something in 10 seconds you can't take back in 10 years? That you can let your tongue loose and you can injure someone? I'm convinced that the greatest tool of domestic assault in all the world is the tongue. And it's what we do when we don't watch our words. But it's not only true in our families, it's true in our church. And how important it is in the Church of Jesus Christ that we listen and heed this commandment that says that we are not to let corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good for encouragement. Words that will build up, words that will lift up, words that will take us on and move us ahead. Literally, where every one of us looks for an opportunity in the life of another believer around us to say, "Go, go, go." The ministry of good words. William Barclay in his commentary said, "One of the highest of human dignities and duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word." I want you to examine your shoelaces today. And I want to ask you, as you look at your life and you look at your heart and your part in this community, is the shoe of good works laced up? And is the shoe of good words laced up? And through good works and good words, are you working and am I working together to deepen the community of this church as believers through the outreach of encouragement? So we've seen that encouragement is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've seen that encouragement deepens the community of believers. But there's a third thing that I want to say to you very quickly before we go this morning. And that is that encouragement is a necessity in my daily life. I need to be encouraged. Can I ask you a question? Do you? Huh? Do you need encouragement? If you need encouragement, would you be honest enough to confess a need and a weakness in your life that you need encouragement? Isn't that amazing how many of us have that need? That we need to be encouraged. And obviously the Bible recognizes that need because God sent His Spirit to do it and God's put us in a community to accomplish it, and there's a tremendous need for us to be encouraged. Now I have to be honest. I'm sharing this message with you this morning because in this week in my life,
I have received a mega dose of encouragement. Did you know that? And you had something to do with it. Just before we left on vacation, we purchased a home. Finally, after 2 years of searching and praying and waiting, we've purchased a home. We took everything we had, moved it into the house, but had a number of things that needed to be done on the interior of the house, so we just put everything in the house and left. And they literally went to work demolishing and trying to recover the interior of this home. Well, when we got back, we came in late Monday evening, and I fully expected to walk back into, well, a place that might have even had a yellow tape across the front and said, "Don't cross," you know. But you know what? We opened the door of that house and we went in. In fact, before we got in the house, we looked around and noticed that the yard was different. The yard had been cut. There was some fresh mulch in the beds. There were flowers out front. Thought, where did all of this come from? And we went into the house and things were fixed up inside the house. And suddenly I opened and there was a refrigerator full of food and a pantry full of food. And I noticed mats laying down and towels laying here. And everywhere I looked, I found something in that house that I didn't put in there before I left. But you want to know the neatest thing of all? I went out in the backyard. And as I went through the back door and went out into the backyard of the house, I went out by the pool. And when I did, I found something in the pool at my house. I found a beach ball. And then I found another one when I was in there as well. And actually, because I can't hold four, I won't have them all, but I found four beach balls with names of faces that I'm speaking to this morning, saying, "Pastor, we love you. Pastor, we're happy for you. Pastor, welcome home." You know what this did to my heart? What an encouragement from you. What kindness. And you know what frustrates me the most? There's no way I'll get all these names off and be able to write enough notes to tell all of you how much we appreciate what you've done. And so can I just do one big card here this morning? Would you help me do that real quick? Just put it up there right now. There it is. That's what I want to try to say to you if I can this morning, to just say thank you for all that you have done. I'm telling you, it was the most overwhelming thing to come home and to just be so loved on by you. And these things, I honestly think that one of these beach balls is going to stay in my office so that anytime somebody comes, I can just tell them what a wonderful church I have the privilege of serving and being with. Thank you so much. But you see, what these beach balls did in my life is what we need to do in each other's life. You know, people give each other balloons, don't you? Because balloons kind of rise up and float, and they kind of help us to rise above the day, add some color, add some vitality and strength. And our ministry to one another has got to be a ministry where we lift one another up through encouragement. And your words and your kindness have been balloons to my heart. And I thank you for that kind of ministry of encouragement. Because I need it, and you need it. Each of us needs encouragement every day, and God's Word honors and recognizes it, and God has put us together to accomplish it. And so let's meet that need in each other's life. I better put these up, lest I start playing beach ball here with you in the congregation. I'm tempted, but I won't do it. Fourth thing that I would share with you this morning is that, obviously, encouragement is a testimony to our community. When we commit ourselves to being a fellowship of encouragement, and when people know that by coming here, the result of being here is to be encouraged, it will absolutely transform the impact of our ministry in our community. Because there's no testimony that impacts the lives of others like the testimony of encouragement. Several weeks ago, I brought a message about Paul and Silas, how they were in prison, having been beaten, and at midnight they were singing and praising the Lord. But their encouragement to one another in adverse circumstances was a testimony to all of those prisoners there. Why? Because people all around us are discouraged. Did you know that? Today and tonight and tomorrow, people that you meet all around you and people that I meet all around me are people who are on the verge of collapse. Things in their life have not turned out the way they expected. People have injured them and disappointed them. And while they may have everything in life to enjoy and to live, they really have nothing to live for because of the fact that they are so discouraged and so empty, and life does not have hope and fullness and completion. I know that because I know a lot of Christians who are discouraged. And today I've wanted this message to encourage you. But how much more do we need to recognize that people around us are discouraged? And one of the greatest ministries that we can have is a ministry of encouragement and a ministry of mercy, because you don't have to scratch far. You don't have to look far to find people who are hurting and discouraged. And the great ministry that we can share is the ministry of Christ. I was in a mall making a purchase in Asheville, North Carolina. And as I was getting ready to sign the bill from my credit card, the lady looked at my card and was checking the signature, which she couldn't make heads or tails out of. If you've ever seen my signature, you'd understand why. She said, "Dr. McKinley," she said, "what kind of doctor are you?" I've gotten used to that question, and I've learned what to say and what not to say. And I immediately said, "Well, I'm a heart doctor." She said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah, but not the kind you're probably thinking about." I said, "I give my life to helping people examine the condition of their heart and knowing how to live life from the inside out, that they can know how to live the way that God intended them to." Now, I'm standing in a checkout line. There are 7 or 8 people standing behind me. This lady looked in my eyes and she said, "What do you tell people who have a broken heart?" And right there, I said, "Well, I always tell them that while I can only talk to you about the heart, there's one who can heal the heart. His name is Jesus, and he mends broken hearts. And the greatest thing that I can ever tell anybody to do is to go to Jesus, who mends the brokenness of their hearts." And I made that purchase, and I left, and the next few people just went through the line. But I thought, what an amazing reminder it is that somebody who had never seen me in a 30-second encounter signing a credit card would say, "What do you tell somebody who has a broken heart?" You know what she needed? A testimony of encouragement. And who is to know? I don't know. I didn't get to stop her in the line, lead her to Christ, bow down, stop, turn the whole store into a revival. You know, that didn't happen. But who's to know that she didn't walk out of there and will somewhere this Sunday be in a church wanting to know if she can know Jesus? You see, there's a testimony that comes through encouragement. God wants you and God wants me to give ourselves to the ministry of encouragement. It is His ministry through the Holy Spirit. It's what deepens community among us as the body of Christ. It's what I need and what you need. It's a necessity in our daily life. And when it is present, it creates a testimony that makes everybody want to know about Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? Because as I bring this message to a close this morning and as I finish talking about encouragement, I want to end with a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement to anyone who may be here this morning, man, woman, boy, girl, young adult, old adult, who's in this place and who has never really heard and known and understood who Jesus Christ is and what He has come to do for them. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who left heaven and came to earth to dwell among us, to help us to know our Heavenly Father, our Creator God, and to help us to live life the way God intended for it to be. Everything here in life is not what God intended. In fact, the way the Bible addresses it, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," and that all of us, every one of us, are sinners. And we need to be forgiven and we need to be saved. And Jesus Christ came that He might take us from the brokenness of our past, from the failure and the weakness of our lives, and that He might make us the people that God intends for us to be. And the message of Jesus Christ is called the gospel, because gospel means good news. And here's the good news. Jesus says, "I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," He says, "I will come in and I will have fellowship with you and you with me." And today, if you have never put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. We want to help you today to begin to live this wonderful life known as the Christian life, to follow Christ and to let Him mend your brokenness, to let Him cleanse the stains of your past, to let Him have control of your life. And today I want to speak a word of encouragement to you. If you have never trusted Christ, If you want to know Him, you can know Him. And in just a moment, we're going to share and we're going to sing a song of invitation, of response. And if today you want to know Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something that's not easy to do, but it's something I'm encouraging you to do, to step out from where you're sitting, to come and to kneel here at the front with others who will gather here. And today, let it be known that you want to know Christ. After you come and we kneel and have finished a time of response, we have several pastors and some people available out in a response room in the foyer. And we're going to meet you there. We're going to talk here. We're going to pray here together just as a group. And then we're going to send you there. And there they're going to put some materials in your hand to help you to know Christ and to follow Christ, to nail down your commitment to Christ today. In fact, it happens when you in your heart say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need to be saved. Jesus, come into my heart. Take control of my life. Make me the person you want me to be." Friend, today I want to encourage you to receive Christ. And then to others who are here today, I want to give you a word of encouragement. And that is that God wants you to encourage someone. And would you just, during this time of decision and response, ask God to just put on your heart someone who needs your encouragement? I'm convinced if you'll start encouraging other people, it won't be long until you receive that encouragement in return. Whatever we try to get in life, we always lose, but whatever we give, we gain. And I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider, who is it that God would have me to fulfill a ministry of encouragement? Maybe through a note, maybe through a call, maybe through an act of kindness, towels and beach balls in your life this week. Father, today it is so clear that you have not left us without comfort and encouragement. That you, O Holy Spirit, have come to dwell among us and to change us from the inside out and to take away that which would discourage and destroy and to add encouragement to life. And so, Father, I pray that in this moment and in this hour, that as we have time to consider, that we will consider and understand how to stir one another to love and to good deeds. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will encourage people to do what Jesus said this morning, to confess Him before men. That you will encourage those who are here who need to be baptized to follow Christ in the waters of baptism, identifying with His death, burial, and resurrection, and testifying that they belong to Him. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will encourage people in this building today to get connected to this church and this ministry in this community and help to deepen this community through the encouragement of their service and devotion. Father, do something fresh and new in us today. Lord, we trust you to encourage by the Spirit as we encourage in this public forum right now in Jesus' name.